Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 11th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. So parents, if your child asks you for something, do you hear your child? Do you know what your child's asking for? It was a dark and stormy night, and the car had not yet been invented. The man did not have GPS to guide him, headlights to show him the way, or a computer-generated voice to tell him where to go. He was outside, muddling through somehow, but he was going somewhere with this. And he broke into a canter as he closed on the home of his old friend, and he knocked on the door. Your turn. Last week, we saw Jesus talking to Mary, teaching her about God. Jesus was doing the talking, teaching about God. This week, he continues teaching us now about us, you talking to God. We call it prayer. Some of the disciples of Jesus wanted him to teach them to pray as John taught his disciples. And you kind of have to wonder what John was teaching his people about prayer. John the Baptist, you recall, was first. He was conceived before Jesus. He preceded Jesus out into the wilderness where he baptized people. And John the Baptizer had disciples. People who learned from him. That's what a disciple means. And when one of those disciples, Andrew, was appointed an apostle by Jesus, John insisted that his disciple, John insisted that his disciple go to follow Jesus. Nathanael, as well as Andrew, was also probably a disciple of John before he was an apostle of Jesus. And it was some of those disciples of John who came to Jesus when John was in prison. They wanted Jesus to confirm that he was indeed Messiah. I think John would die for Messiah, the Christ. But if Jesus was just another guy, and was it these same disciples of John who were on the burial detail when Jesus was laid to rest in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea? It was a loner. Later on in Acts, out in the country, somewhere between Corinth and Ephesus, Paul ran into a remnant of the disciples of John who had not yet gotten the email about the one John had proclaimed as greater than me. I must decrease. He must increase. Paul baptized those people with Trinitarian baptism. He ordained them. They spoke in tongues, and there were about 12 of them, probably just a coincidence. So parents, when your child asks you for something, do you give that child the thing for which he asks? Do you give it to him? It was a dark and stormy night, and the man had settled in for the night when he was startled by the pounding on the door. The man gets up, cautiously makes his way to that door. Who's there? Who is it? A familiar voice from the other side of the door. Oh, it's you. So good to see you. I'm so happy you stopped by. Come on in. I'll put the kettle on. You know, the natural man knows all about the divine. And just what does that God of the natural man look like? Well, the pagan gods look angry. They look scary. And maybe if I feed him something, he'll calm down. They especially seem to like human flesh. Maybe it will even make the gods give me things that I need, like food. And pretty soon, you find yourself praying to your food, talking to your food, which comes in the form of plants and animals, prayers of thanks for sustenance. You want to know what that looks like? Well, I think we kind of burned out on the Alaska shows. Alaska Airlines, Alaska gold miners, several places, Alaskan survivalists. Those are the ones who kill food, and then they verbally thank that animal for feeding them. That's what that looks like, the worship of animals. There's that one family just outside of Homer. They have vehicles. They're always one storm away from death. On Thanksgiving, now what to do with that? Don't know what to do with that. And it doesn't take long for Christianity, like Lutheranism, passed from generation to generation from hundreds of years, to be lost, just like that. The sin against the Holy Spirit that is taking away word and sacrament. You don't pass them down to the next generation. There's nothing left for them to pass on to their children. That's the sin against the Holy Spirit. The ancestors of that family in Alaska are from Norway. And within three generations, beginning with the second, they're returning to their pagan roots, worshiping animals. Just a matter of time, I think, before they build an altar. The prayers Jesus and John would have heard growing up in the synagogue or temple often began with these words, "Blessed are you, Lord our King, Lord our God, King of the universe," or something along those lines. They sound a lot like the modern Calvinist prayers that focus on the Almighty, the Awesome, the Powerful God. All of which things he is. Jesus, when asked how we should pray, tells us to address God as Father. He recognizes that teachable moment, like when somebody says, "Teach us." And that's the first thing about praying, address God as Father. John the Baptizer, we hear what he preaches, talking to his disciples about God, a lot about his preaching, but very little about what John said when he talked to God. What I mean is, we don't know how John prayed. I think it was probably pretty similar to the way that Jesus teaches us to pray. But we do know how Jesus for sure prayed the entire 17th chapter of John by the apostle, not the baptizer. Is the prayer of the Son to the Father. And when asked here by his students how to pray, he says, when you pray, say, "Father." Parents, when your child asks you for something and you don't give the child that thing, you don't give it to him. Is there a reason for that? Besides reading the Bible, Bible study might include digging into the original text, talking to experts, reading the internet, and thinking. On Tuesday, I got to thinking, and I got up and looked around the house for some bread. There it is, in the kitchen, on the counter, in the garage. The door was open. I looked more. There were various other processed cereals, corn, wheat, rice, and some nuts. But almost all the food in the house is actually found in the freezer, refrigerator, and we got cans. The man who was hosting the visitor, a friend of his, had none of those things. No refrigerator to keep food for a few days. No freezer to keep it for longer. Not even any cans. Now, flour made from dry grain will keep for days, months, even longer if you do it right. Bread on the counter, that's going to last a while. And you wonder why the man in the story did not have an emergency loaf. Or two, or three. for times like this. I don't know of any other religion that addresses the divinity as Father. The American Indians addressed him as the Great Spirit, and I suspect that any reference to God as Father, I couldn't find any, was a later addition taken from Christianity. And I haven't read the entire internet, and there may be religions out there who refer to God as Father. There may be. Couldn't find any. And what does Jesus mean by that? Call him Father. Well, Luther thinks it means this. That's on page 323 in your hymnal. Don't look at that right now. With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father, and we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. Mine are all adults now, but if any of them ask for a thing needed, even wanted, I don't tell them to just go away. And they don't have to ask me twice. I heard you the first time. It was a dark and stormy night, and the man had tucked in his family for the night, and he was himself. Then he heard a knock on the door, which he ignored. Then loud pounding and a voice from outside the door, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And just what does that have to do with me? And it must be midnight. He rolled over in his bed, continued to ignore the pounding, which continued unabated. And finally, a response. He heard the man inside. He sounds angry. "Do not bother me. The door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give you anything." So what's the guy supposed to do? I suppose he could stop pounding, go back to his house breadless. That just wasn't going to happen. He pounded more and harder. Worked. It worked. You know, we sometimes talk about persistence in prayer, and that's a thing sometimes, persistence in prayer, but that's not exactly what's going on here. William Barclay puts it like this: the lesson of this parable is not that we must persist in prayer. It is not that we must batter at God's door until we finally compel him for very weariness to give us what we want, until we coerce an unwilling God to answer. The parable, he says, is not about the likeness of God to the man who has something I need, but on the contrast between him and God. They're different. They're different. He goes on. What Jesus says is this: if a churlish and unwilling householder can in the end be coerced by a friend's shameless persistence into giving him what he needs, how much more will God, who is a loving father, supply all his children's needs? If you, Jesus says, who are evil, know that you are bound to supply your children's needs, how much more will God know that? Indeed, if you look, right after he tells that story, the contrast is stark in its simplicity. Ask, and it will be given to you. No pounding on the door, no persistence. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened, and even the pagans knew to give life-sustaining food to their children, not deadly snakes or scorpions. Or, the pagans might pray to their ancestors. And what do you mean by that? Well, when modern paganism, it's named neo-paganism, sometimes called heathenism, it's a thing. You look at what they pray to. They praise the universe. They praise Mother Earth. They praise their ancestors. They don't address their prayers to God as a father because they don't think of the deity as a loving, caring father or themselves as a child of the Father. And they think their prayers will be heard by Jesus, called a vain repetition. Kind of like the man in the story. So this woman who taught for me in Colorado Springs, I'm sorry, she was a refugee from Vietnam. She was a Christian. And I asked her, what's religion like in Vietnam? She said, a lot of people worship their ancestors. And I said, what does that mean? And she looked at me funny and she says, it means that they worship their ancestors. It was such a foreign thought, but it's actually a common thing for people to worship their ancestors and not to call God Father. That seems to be kind of a Christian thing to call God Father and to think of Him as that. My tasks at that school in Colorado were instructor, dean of students, director of recruitment, an assistant, then associate pastor. And when I got to Lutheran High School in Davenport, I did all those things, plus principal and administrator. And I'm not sure under which heading fundraising fell, but I was responsible to raise money. And like most pastors, I had not a clue how to do that. One of the first things that I learned is that if you're fundraising, you go to people who have funds, money. It's the reason why that foundation asked for funds from us. They know that we just got a large chunk of it. I also learned that the main reason why people don't give to a good cause, like a Lutheran high school or a lot of other things, the main reason why people don't give, they've never been asked. They've never been asked. So how do we pray? First, address God as our Father, because that's what God is like. The next thing about praying is to ask. Ask. For example, ask for God, hallowed be your name. May your name be holy. God's name is holy, Luther points out. We pray that God will keep it holy among us also by keeping His word pure. Where have I heard that before? We pray, for example, give us this day our daily bread, the basic necessities of life, mostly consumables, things that we need every day, food and the like. We pray, forgive us our sins. We know that He does. We're reminded to forgive others like He does us. Lead us not into temptation. Pray for that. God does not tempt us, but we pray that He would guard us from the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And that's Luke's shortened recording of the Lord's Prayer. A little bit longer, shorter than Matthew's longer reading. So if you are asking for those things from our Father, He will not tell you to just go away. And you won't have to pound on His door if you're asking for those things. But I think if you're asking for victory for your favorite sports team, or if you're asking for the winning lottery ticket, I think probably all bets are off at that point. So just what is it that you need? God has unlimited funding. What is it that you want? God can give that to you as well. So how to pray? Address your Father, and sometimes it is true. All you have to do is ask. Amen. Peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.